financial independence, country shopping, van nomadism, security culture, ethical enclaves, crypto anarchy, legal interstices, survivalism. Join your hosts, Shane and Kyle, as they explore this freedom strategy known as Vaunting. You're listening to the Vaunting Podcast.
And welcome to the Vaunting Podcast, the podcast making you invulnerable to coercion. I'm Shane and...
I'm Jason.
Since governments are the primary coercers upon individuals, this podcast, everything found on the website, is covered by BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse and modification to anyone, except for governments and the bludgies thereof. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, I'd like to first apologize for the way I sound. I came down with a pretty bad cold earlier this week, and working outside in 30-degree weather hasn't helped any. so I'm starting to feel quite a bit better, but I don't sound like it. So, you know, if it sounds annoying, you know, just please bear with me. And also, I hope you guys enjoyed last week's episode, the anti-war Rayo. You know, I love that episode so much after listening to it another couple times that I actually put it out on the Liberty Under Attack podcast feed. So if you heard it twice, or you only wanted to listen to it once, and you didn't get you know, one piece of content, a new piece of content from both podcasts, I do apologize. But at the same time, I think it was a very, very important episode and a subject that we don't discuss much on either podcast. So anyways, joining me today is my co-host Jason Booth. How's it going, man?
I am doing pretty good. I am sitting here in 60-degree weather in shorts and a t-shirt. I am not freezing like you. Hey, it's one of the few things I like about California is the weather. But I'm riding high. I recorded with Seeds of Liberty last night, and they gave a little shout out to Vanu. So I appreciate that, Jeremy. And other than that, man, I'm just smiling. Life is good right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. And I guess I might, you know, I'll probably edit them out in post-production. But, you know, I said I was feeling better, and I am. But I don't feel anything bad, you know, when things are just, you know, going along. But if I cough, or if I sneeze or cough or something like that, it feels like I'm going to die. So if there's some expletives in this episode, I do apologize. But anyways, I do have one update. Last week we talked about, to introduce the show, talked about 24 publications in the University of Michigan's Libeti collection. I had Pete, he was working on, you know, getting in contact with him. And I guess in the email he said that, you know, what we're trying to do is digitize, you know, those publications so they're available to the public, you know, as, you know, this collection is supposed to be, right? I mean, Libeti, I don't remember his first name, but Libeti was actually he was an anarchist. He was more on the left, but he donated some publications to obviously this Libeti collection, or to the University of Michigan back in the 1930s or something. You know, about, you know, it's more like left anarchist stuff, but still pretty cool. And I guess these publications were added to it after he was dead. But anyways, I guess that's kind of the background. But apparently Pete mentioned in the email that, you know, we're going to digitize these and put them online. And the lady responded, and she said, well, now that you said that, we can't let you do that because we can't let you put copyrighted material out on the internet. So I've got someone else in Michigan working on that now, and I told him, don't you dare mention that you're going to be digitizing those. So it'd be two people from completely different states. And I really don't think it's going to be an issue, but God, I would be so pissed if we couldn't get those behind a goddamn IP bullshit thing.
Copyright and ideas, man. That's
God. And I will say, for Vaunting Life, I don't know if they were all like this, but when Lane took over as editor for the 1973 edition, the one that's out, just go to vaunipodcast.com/VL if you want to see that entire 80,000 word publication. But there is a copyright on it, and I don't know why, but they add an addendum to it, and you can pretty much reprint the entire thing, you know, without permission. You just have to, you know, it's kind of like it's Creative Commons is how they treated copyright back then, but Creative Commons wasn't out. So it's kind of frustrating. You know, if you look at the back cover of that Vaunting Life, or I guess the last page, you'll see that, you know, they don't have any issue with people republishing the entire thing. That's what they did in these publications, right? You know, it's kind of, you know, they'd say, oh, you're really interesting articles from Vaunting Life. Go ahead and republish these in my publication and vice versa. So that's definitely not the spirit of Vaunting. And yeah, I really hope we can find a way to get this to get this done, because I would be super pissed if those 24 publications could just not be digitized because some bullshit high level indoctrination, you know, IP wall.
Yeah, that's Libeti. He's an anarchist. You can't throw copyrighted material into an anarchist collective? That's just messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, frustrating. Super frustrating. But, you know, hopefully we'll get that figured out. I really, really do hope so. But anyways, I guess that's pretty much the only update that I have. I wanted to, you know, apprise the listeners of developments on that, because I know a lot of them do, you know, look forward to those publications. But I guess anything new from last week that you'd like to talk about before we get started?
No, I think we pretty much had it out last night or last week. That was it was a fun episode. You know, I'm sure it did rustle some jimmies out there, but I haven't heard anything negative from it.
Yeah, I haven't either. I haven't either. And I will say I did since then. I ordered Scott Horton's book, Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan. I'm about 100 pages in, and free plug, definitely go pick up a copy of that book. It's I mean, I've known about a lot. I thought I knew about a lot of what happened and how, you know, how bullshitty the war was. But man, he goes into a lot of detail. And if you want a lot of ammunition for your warmongering family members or friends, there you go. Go pick up a copy of Scott's book. Have you had a chance to check that out yet, man?
No, I have not. I have not until very recently been a fan of Scott at all. Honestly, I've heard his name for a long time, but it wasn't until recently that I actually started listening to him. So,
right, and I guess I will put a couple of disclaimers out there. Scott is in some ways a controlled schizophrenic, and I have the utmost respect for the guy. But you know, he still kind of says our military, our government, that sort of thing. And he does kind of occasionally promote political crusading, or he at least you know, allows his state as guest to. So. I guess that's kind of a disclaimer there, but there's no better expert out there on, I guess, modern war, maybe from like the 1980s on, than Scott. So you've got a lot of respect for the guy, and you know, no reason to throw the baby out of the bathwater, right?
Yeah, true. I mean, to quote Aristotle, it's a mark of an educated mind to be able to entertain an idea without accepting it. And if you can do that, you know, you can listen to Scott, you can listen to the things he says. Doesn't mean you have to swallow them wholesale.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. So I guess let's go ahead and move forward here. Today's episode is titled Starting Your Journey as a Vanuan. And the show notes can be found at VanuPodcast.com/intermission15. And I will drop a bunch of stuff there, probably previous episodes, because we aren't going to cover. I mean, we did the entire. I mean, there are going to be some episodes that I'll refer to that if you want more information on things, definitely go check those out. And I'll also put a. I'll actually also publish an article from Vanu Life, March 1973, separately, as it's a very good companion article for our discussion today. I'll put that in the show notes as well. Again, VanuPodcast.com/intermission15, or just go to VanuPodcast.com. It'll be right there at the top of the page, you know, when this episode is published. So I've recently discovered that we have quite a few new listeners, and I figured it would be wise to provide action steps one can take if they're just starting out. Furthermore, there may be some longtime listeners who are digging the episodes and are really interested in Vanu and, you know, what we have to say and what Rayo had to offer, but just aren't sure where to get started. I think we can get two birds stoned at once here, as Rayo from the Trailer Park Boys would say. So Jason, you actually pointed me in the direction, or you actually tagged me in the post or messaged me, or I don't remember exactly how the conversation came about or how you brought it to my attention. But yeah, people were talking about Vanu and an Anarchism for Beginners page. And, you know, I kind of see that a lot, you know, new people on Twitter interested in it, new people on Facebook, people reaching out to me. It's really, really incredible. So, you know, I think this is a great, you know, episode idea, and one that we came up with about an hour before recording.
Yeah.
We're not bad at preparing, but I mean, I don't worry about it. It's like, yeah, we're going to record tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but, you know, we'll figure it out as we always do. So, but yeah, what do you think about this, this episode idea?
I like the idea a lot. A lot of people, they don't necessarily want to go back to the beginning. They don't want to read everything. They kind of need a simplified plan of attack, you know, a simplified starting point. This is
condensed, yeah.
Yeah, this is us laying the stepping stones that they can follow.
Right. So, yeah, definitely true. But also keep in mind, guys, that this is not an exhaustive list, and there are certainly some things we may be missing. And if you do think of anything, please let us know. You know, if there's anything outside of this discussion today that that comes to mind for you. But again, I mean, if you do want an exhaustive list, that's what the entire podcast is for. I mean, there's plenty of hours, plenty of details, plenty of information in seasons one and two. But we're going to condense this for you a little bit today. If you just started listening and you don't have time, or you just you know, haven't gotten back to listen to those first episodes. So I guess let's go ahead and get started here. So I guess the plan for this episode is we're gonna run through, I guess, obviously starting points, how to get started as a Vanuan, but also be referring to a companion article from Vanu Life March 1973, as I mentioned, surmounting personal obstacles to Vanu. And in that article, Rayo lays out, some of those obstacles you may come across before you start out, you know, things you might be concerned about, and then also, you know, some very, very great things. So if you want more information after this episode, please do check that out. So we're going to go through, I guess, the list that we came up with before this episode, and then I'll read a little bit, just a little bit from that article as some supplementary materials. So first off, and probably the most important, definitely the most important, understand and embrace the philosophy of Vanu. Now that was all of season one, but if you read, you know, Vanu: The Search for Personal Freedom, that first book, or you listen to it, you'll understand the philosophy of Vanu very, very well. It's important to get rid of that controlled schizophrenia, right? You don't want to be calling yourself a Vanuan and then going and, just being running for an aspiring political ruler position. You don't want to call yourself a Vanuan and, you know, go out and, you know, try to reform the government, right? It's very important to understand the philosophy of Vanu, get rid of your controlled schizophrenia, and also exercise those collectivist spooks from your head, right? Because... as we talked about the collective movementism episode, I mean, you can't rely on others for freedom. You know, when all these groups start out, I mean, they might start out with good intentions, but in order to attract more members, they have to, I guess, either expand their viewpoints or their goals, or they have to water them down. Got to get rid of the controlled schizophrenia and kind of that collective movementist idea that, you know, if we get together, we can, you know, bring forth Ancapistan or something along those lines. Now it may take some time to get rid of both of those things. It did for me. Yet that doesn't mean you have to wait to start taking action steps. So don't think that you have to, you know, wait if it takes you a couple of years to, you know, fully eradicate that collectivism from your mind. Don't use that as an excuse to not pursue Vanu, you know, in the here and now. But what do you got so far?
I just want to sum up what you said. Like, you cannot be a Vanuan, right? You cannot be a Vanuan and try to limit your coercion while actively participating, you know, in the coercive entity, right? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't vote for president while trying to avoid the state, right? It's cognitive dissonance at its finest. So the first thing that you have to do to be a Vanuan is to understand what Vanu really means. What is the base premises, and that is to limit your coercion to the state and people that are hell bent on doing you harm.
Right, exactly. You can't claim that you're trying to become as invulnerable to coercion as you can be while participating in a coercive system. It just doesn't make sense. It's contrary to Vanu, and this is one of those. This is one of those things when it comes to Vanu. If you're truly going to be, pursuing, becoming as invulnerable to coercion as possible, this is kind of a must. This is a must. As far as kind of what Rhea laid out, and I mean, you know, it's a lot of things I've been thinking and you've been thinking, and you know, others have come to me and said, you know, this has been my philosophy the entire time. I just didn't have a word for it. So it's not Rhea's philosophy. He's not a central planner. He's not anything like that. But he was kind of the first one to put this thing into a book and coin this term. So this is kind of a requirement, right? If you're really going to take Vanu to his logical conclusion, its most radical conclusion, then yeah, the controlled schizophrenia and you know, that collective movementism has to go. It just has to. Now, obviously, for the actions we've talked about for a while, and Ray even said, you know, Vanu was yours for the making. At that point, I mean, sure. I mean, anything you possibly want to do that makes you more vulnerable to coercion and you aren't hurting anyone else, you know, fantastic. But the first stepping stone, you've got to have those firm, philosophical principles, those firm philosophical convictions, that will really drive forward, you know, your action, and influence your action as it did for Rayo.
Oh, absolutely. You cannot be a freed slave, right? You are either free or you are a slave. And if you're participating in this system to any degree, you are a slave, right? I mean, you can't be like, oh, I'm a Vanu Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday I go participate in the state. No, it doesn't work that way. You're not
Vanu is a lifestyle.
Yes, there's no part-time Vanu. There's no part-time freedom. It is 24/7, 365. It is Vanu is more than the ideology. It is a lifestyle. It is like homesteading. You know, you can't be half in on a homestead, right? If you can't, you know, feed your pigs someday and then skip it the next. You can't, you know, not always collect your chicken eggs. You can't half-ass your homestead. If you half-ass your homestead, it's going to fail. You can't half-ass your freedom. You can't half-ass Vanu. You have to be all in or you're not going to succeed. You can be all in and then learn and grow and expand on it, of course, but you can't start Vanu while still, you know, being a slave on the plantation. You can't start your freedom while still living under the coercive entity.
Right. No, I certainly agree. I like that part-time Vanuan. It's like, oh yeah. So what do you do, Jason? Well, I'm a part-time Vanuan. Through the week, I'm a bludgy, but on the weekends, I try to make myself as invulnerable to coercion as possible. Yeah, I like that part-time Vanuan. Well, I don't like it, but it's kind of a funny term there. But all right. So after you've you know, well, I guess not after, you don't, again, you can take the action steps while you're still, I guess, fully eradicating your mind of contradictions, but at the same time, you know, ideally, you know, at some point you'd understand and embrace philosophy of Vanu and get rid of those of the collective movementism. But anytime you can start using encrypted communications, this would be number two. Start using encrypted communications and practice security culture. More generally, security culture. So I guess two phrases here I love. If the coercers don't know you exist, they can't coerce you. If the coercers can't see what you're saying, it's harder to coerce. You can't take a PGP email into court and say, I know that Shane was talking about this. Let's hang it. Let's, you know, hang him out to dry. The judge is going to say this is just a bunch of a big, jumble of letters and numbers. We don't know what this means, right? So those are, you know, two very important things as far as encryption. Signal, smartphone app, which again, I've heard some concerns raised about that. They can always capture your screen before it's sent and encrypted, but it makes it more difficult for them. Signal.
That's why there's a lovely voice option on Signal. Just saying, you don't have to text.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah, but I would think the same sort of voice as it's going in, if it's encrypted as it goes into the app. Yeah. Which I'm not sure if it is. It might become encrypted once you're sending it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Put it out there. Let's just put it out there. If you have an app on a smartphone, on an Android smartphone, 99% of the time it's still going to be monitored. That's just the reality of the situation. But that is to the highest upper levels of government and all that good stuff. Your local, I mean, they're probably not gonna realize what it is and all that other stuff. So,
right, and you know, that is kind of when it comes to encrypted communications, and we're talking about this high tech. That's why, you know, things like Jamin Baconic's GhostPad. Those mm-hmm. machines, like a really secure machine, you start using encrypted communications on that, you can be pretty damn sure that that you're actually communicating, you know, via encryption.
Yeah, close cell networks and.
Right. Linux cubes or Linux tails, things like that, for the highest levels of security. And then for phones, I think he did mention a couple weeks ago that he's going to try to kind of do the same firmware hack that he does for laptops on smartphones. I don't know how that's going to go for him, but I think it's a really swell idea. He's got a lot of projects going on, though. Using encrypted communications, even if it's not 100% effective, you're still making it a pain in the ass. And if they collect every single phone, every single communication, you know, there at, you know, the NSA headquarters, right? So if you, you know, if only 2% of Americans use, you know, encryption in their personal communications, then that's 98% of shit they have to sift through. And then they have to go that that extra step and actually decrypt, you know, what you're sending. So it's definitely does, I would say, certainly does make you more invulnerable to coercion and also just privacy. Beyond that, the Gray Man, which Kyle wrote a really good article on. I don't think I put it in the show notes before, but I'll put it in there again. You know, how to practice the Gray Man, you know, going unnoticed, just blending into society. And along with the Gray Man is something like, you know, driving a low profile car, not driving a flashy, you know, Ford Mustang GT, a bright yellow one, but instead like a silver, I don't know, like Corolla. A silver Mercury Grand Marquis or something.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other aspects that go along with the Gray Man, but using encrypted communication and practicing security culture are steps that you can implement, you know, right now. Once you learn how to do it, once you understand some of the strategies, the more you practice, the more competent you'll be at practicing those things. But I know you you like the Gray Man, so let's talk about that a little bit.
I am a huge fan of the Gray Man theory. The old Japanese saying, you know, the hammer that or the nail that sticks out gets hammered, right? And if you make yourself flashy, right, you drive a car on big 24-inch rims with a loud stereo and dark tint, you're going to attract attention, right? If you wear, you know, a bright red sweater on a cool summer's evening, you're going to stick out. Like, people are going to be like, hey, why is he wearing that bright red sweater? If you wear muted tones, if you wear, you know, like basic everyday, if you're not wearing high profile coloring, high colored clothing, you're not wearing fancy jewelry, things like that, you want to make yourself like noticeable and forgettable, right? You want to blend in with everybody else. That's the whole key of the Gray Man, you know? Wear ball caps and dark sunglasses, like big aviator sunglasses or something, so you can hide your features so people dismiss you earlier. Or dismiss
right,
you.
Right, and also just changing your appearance. You know, you know, this week when you go to the grocery store, you have a beard. Next week, you don't. Et cetera, et cetera.
Hair dye, wigs, prosthetic makeups, the little silicone prosthetics. You know, you give yourself a fake chin. You can buy those online for very inexpensive, and they do work. And the low profile car, like you said, you know, ditch the fancy car, ditch the fancy SUV.
Save yourself some damn money too.
Yeah.
And also save yourself from maybe being suicided by the state once they take over your fully electronic car, basically.
Yep.
As they did with Michael Hastings.
Buy a used work truck. The work trucks are everywhere. You got a lumber rack and a ladder on top. There's thousands of them. You're gonna drive by hundreds of them on a single day. Nobody's gonna care. Nobody's gonna be like, oh, I remember that one work truck. No, it people's minds don't work that way. So blending in, like, look around you, look at what people wear, look at the vehicles that they drive. It's easy to blend in if you really want to.
Right. And just to make this point, the Gray Man doesn't mean you have to stay in your house all the time. It doesn't mean that you can't have communications with people in the servile society. It doesn't mean that actually makes, I would argue that, you know, like, there, you know, those, there's always those neighbors. It's like, I never see that guy. I don't know what he does. And every time you see him, he automatically draws attention, right?
Yes.
Go outside, you know, have conversations with your neighbors, you know, make it just seem like, oh, just a normal average Joe, you know, living in our neighborhood, you know, cool. And, you know, you're kind of forgettable in that way. It's definitely, you know, less suspect than, you know, someone who, you know, kind of that you know, creepy neighbor that you never see.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't mean you have to be a recluse in your house. But it just means that, you know, you blend in and you're conscious of what you say. You don't reveal too many details, and you just kind of exist and move into, I guess, the gray part of society.
Absolutely. You know, blend in, be courteous, but not jovial. Be polite, but not, you know, overly. You don't want people to be able to pinpoint you. You know, you want them to see you, say hi, dismiss you, right? I mean, I can't really say it any simpler than that.
But yeah, so, you know, the Gray Man's really not that hard to implement. I mean, obviously, as you do it more, you'll get better at it. But, you know, things that don't need to be said, don't say them, right? need to know basis for you know, people who need to know, and just blend in with the surveillance society. It's not that hard to do, to be a nobody. It really isn't. And if you have a job in the service industry already, then you're basically you know, on your way, even if it's just you know, as part of your occupation.
Oh yeah, I mean, sorry, I completely lost my train of thought.
Man, it's a rough run today, guys.
Just total brain fart. Like three words in, and my brain just went nope. So sorry.
Hey, no problem.
God.
So I guess to reiterate that, encrypted communication, the practice security culture. Those are two of the very, very best ways. And security culture was absolutely crucial for Rayo's pursuit of Vanu, and I would say for everyone's pursuit of Vanu. If you aren't practicing security culture, then you're making yourself very visible to the coercers, and then, you know, therefore you're not practicing Vanu. So it's kind of just a basic foundational aspect of Vanu. So next, and this is what we started out season two with, and that's begin your journey to financial independent early retirement. And the first thing, and I really, you know, love this aspect now, but you know, people are becoming financially independent through investing in cryptocurrencies. And I will say it is quite frustrating for me now, because I lost my job probably 6 months ago, and I had to sell most of my portfolio. For example, I bought Litecoin. It was like $20. Actually, it was like $30. It went up to like over 300 or somewhere around that the past week. I bought Monero, and it was $13 beginning of this year. It's up to over $300 now. Just a lot of cryptocurrencies where it's like, fuck, man. Like I could have made a lot of money.
Could have had your sale.
You know, no better time than now. But you know, investing in cryptocurrencies, and whether that's you know, simply holding, you know, as a lot of people have done and have made a lot of money off of it, and or, you know, day trading, you know, where you trade daily and you try to find coins that are going to double in value or however much, and then you you know, make money off of that. But as far as financially independent early retirement, cryptocurrencies are absolutely an incredible innovation in that realm. I guess an unprecedented, you know, with such a high return on investment. So, I mean, that's number one. If you've considered getting into cryptocurrencies, I mean, you may look at it and say, damn, you know, those prices are pretty high now. I think I missed the boat. I would say you didn't. I definitely don't think so. They aren't going anywhere. Now, a lot of the, you've got to be, you know, conscious. You got to be, I guess, a conscious consumer of cryptocurrencies. I don't really like that term, but there are a lot of scams out there. ICOs aren't very good, in my opinion. I think I saw something like 80,000 projects were ICO, or I guess 80,000 blockchain projects were set out in 2016, and I think only like 8% of them survived. So you've just got to be conscious of that, and you know, try to do your best in investing. There's a lot of great information out there, and I'd be willing to meet with to talk with anyone that would be interested in getting into it. I've been doing it for about 2 years now, so I'm pretty familiar with it. As far, if you want me to explain, you know, how a crypto note transaction goes through and like ring signatures, that's not gonna happen. As like the developing and programming stuff. But if you want to get into it, understand the basics of the technology, and kind of understand the market, I'd be more than happy to help you get started on that. But yeah, you know, I'd say cryptocurrencies probably the pretty major you know, step forward in pursuing financially independent early retirement. And beyond that, silver and gold, they are investments. You aren't going to see, speaking of you know, return on investment, I think if you bought you know, silver last year, you might have made, you know, 50 cents or a dollar on each one. I haven't looked at the spot price of silver in a while, but you know, silver and gold, you could get a decent return on investment, but it's going to be, you know, with inflation, right? So it's going to take quite a bit longer, but still wouldn't say don't invest in silver and gold. I mean, diversify your portfolio. And if there ever is a shit hits the fan scenario, and say the government does hit the internet kill switch and the mesh networks aren't set up, you know, the second realm infrastructure, then, you know, you might need silver, you know, to do some bartering. So I guess anything there?
No, I agree completely on the crypto. I would advise also, like, the people that are afraid of getting into Bitcoin right now because the price is so high, look at the smaller ones. Look at Bitcoin Cash. Look at Monero. Look at Litecoin. Ripple's making waves now.
I wouldn't recommend Ripple to Venuans, but
no, I would not either. But just saying, if, as an investment, if you were trying to make money, Look into these smaller ones. I mean, they're going to ride the wave. As Bitcoin gets higher, they're going to go up. And as the Fed step in and try to regulate Bitcoin, people are going to become weary and they're going to jump out of the market into the smaller ones. And that's going to drive the price of the smaller ones up also. So
right.
Look into the smaller ones. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to jump in and try to buy Apple when you can buy the smaller companies that are going to ride the wave.
Right, right. And I guess another thing, you know, as far as Ripple being, you know, contrary to the values of anyone, as far as I understand it, also don't use major exchanges that require personally identifiable information.
Stay the hell away from Coinbase.
But apparently not, because I actually posted a status. I'm going to pull it up because it's absolutely hilarious. I think you saw that one. I think you liked it.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
But, you know, for anarchists or Venuans or whomever, I suppose. Yeah, I put up a status yesterday. So I said, cryptocurrencies are, so this is like quoting, you know, an anarchist or somebody, cryptocurrencies are great because of financial privacy, end quote, and then signs up to exchange, verifies ID using biometrics and connects bank account. And that happens more than you guys would think. You know, pretty much any exchange that deals with, you know, government fiat, they kind of have to do that. So what I'd recommend is getting into, like, buying Bitcoin from someone, you know, localbitcoins.com, or find one of your friends on Fascistbook that's willing to sell some. And then you can get into some great exchanges like Cryptopia. They don't want any of your information. They're from New Zealand, too, so it'd be a hell of a time for, you know, the U.S. U.S. Coercers to be able to subpoena information from that.
Yes. So
they'd have a hell of a time.
Yes.
HitBTC is also very good. It's got some – if you have both of those, you can pretty much buy any cryptocurrency that you want to if you're looking to day trade or anything like that. So there are options. I've been doing it for 2 years, guys. I'm doing it for 2 years. And another great way, and this is something that I've been using for about a year now, is VeerWox, a virtual world exchange, VeerWox.com. And they do have accounts. It's actually a – this is kind of funny, Jason. It's actually a – you know, like Second Life and Linden Dollars, like the virtual gaming currencies, like that you use in game, and that's the only purpose they have. But they actually, you know, do Bitcoin transactions too. So I buy, you know, a few times a week, I'll buy $100 of cryptocurrency and, you know, do trading that way. And they don't require any personally identifiable information. But I do buy with PayPal, which is unfortunate, but. That's the best workaround that I have, and VeerWox doesn't have any of my information. So it's not a perfect solution, but for me to be able to buy it on demand without having to use Coinbase or anything like that, I think it's a really, really good way to go about doing it. So those are some options there. Certainly, you know, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me or go back to the first episode in season two, on financial independence, where I think I go a lot more in depth on this subject. So yeah, guys, Ray would be, I guess, I don't know what Ray's reaction would be if he saw, you know, cryptocurrencies today, but I think he would be, you know, just overjoyed. I mean, he was an engineer, he was a geek. I think he would have absolutely loved them. So, you know, get into it. You have not missed the boat. And even if Bitcoin goes up slow and you can't get those massive return on investments, you know, there's still a lot of money to be made there. It's a very, very large market. It's actually about to hit $1 trillion, the entire market is. So it's not too late. Get in now. Either just yesterday would have been better, but you know, there's no better time than now. So alongside, you know, cryptocurrencies and gold and silver, live frugally. You know, a lot of folks in the Servile Society pay $5 every morning for a cup of coffee. They, you know, spend, you know, $50 going out to eat. They spend, you know, just absurd amounts of money on things, you know, just for the purpose of, I don't know what the purpose is. You know, every once in a while I can kind of understand it. But you know, all of the and Rayo mentioned this actually in his book, you know, people who have had a couple that's had, you know, two well-paying jobs doesn't even have enough savings to opt out for a year. So to take a year off their jobs, because you know what they do? They, you know, they buy that house in the suburbs with a mortgage. They, you know, have, you know, two car payments, and they've got to have those jobs to pay for all of their things. So what's the solution to that? Well, live frugally, eat out less, be conscious of your consumerist habits, and try to lower your cost of living in general. You know, I guess, for example, You know, some people think that, you know, McDonald's or where Burger King is, you know, cheap fast food. But about for a few months there, at the beginning of this year, I spent about 50 cents per meal. So and it was a really delicious, you know, rice plate, rice, chicken, beans. Just it was a pretty good meal, pretty good meal. So you can live very, very cheaply and still eat good food. Better than McDonald's, that's for damn sure. So, I mean, living frugally, you know, if you're, you know, investing in cryptocurrencies, making a bunch of money, and you're living frugally, you know, that'll, you know, that's a really powerful combination. What do you think, man?
Yeah. Do you really need 270 TV channels? Right. Or do you need cable at all? Right. Do you need
when you can find everything for free online?
Online or Netflix for $15 a month? Right. Do you need a $500 watch when a $25 Timex will do? Do you need $70 designer jeans when you can get a $25 off the shelf pair from Walmart? No, you don't. Right. People spend money because they're expected to spend money. You don't need to spend the money on these designer things that only are going to impress your friends and make you look, you know, socially wealthy. That's when it comes down to it, like those $70 pair of jeans are not going to make you free, right? They're not going to feed you.
They aren't.
They're not going to help you be less coercive to the government. That $500 watch is going to make you be more coercive because people are going to be like, oh, that person has money. Maybe we should rob him.
Anti-gray man.
All right, yeah. That's very anti-gray man. It's like eating out. I mean, number one, it's financially expensive. Number two, it's health expensive. And number three, on the back end, right? If you eat McDonald's, you know, 3 days a week, 5 days a week, whatever, that adds up. That adds up, and you know, suddenly you're 50 with heart problems and high blood pressure and all that other stuff. So, you don't need it. You really don't need it. It's not expensive to live well. In today's society, it is very expensive to live cheaply in today's society, though. So yeah, right. It doesn't take a long time to get home and cook rice. Like rice takes 15 minutes, right? While that rice is cooking, you can make your chicken.
Well, it depends on how much you're. I would make like my full week, so I'd have like, you know, the big pot full, so it'd take like 30 or 45 minutes. But you are correct. You are correct. It doesn't take long to make these things. And if you're sitting in the drive-thru at lunch hour, you know, you could have made, you know, 3 or 4 meals in that amount of time.
Yes, absolutely. It's not difficult, you guys. I do it. I live on a very small income and I do it. I live very simply. And I'm saving up. So if I can do it, you can do it.
Right. So I guess to reiterate here, you know, kind of three of the steps you can take right now that aren't very hard to do. Now I guess I will say living frugally, it is difficult. I would recommend you put together a budget. Put together a budget on everything like the money you make, and you know, how much those things cost and how much you can put away, you know, for savings. That was very, very helpful to me. You know, it is difficult. You know, if you go from, you know, 20 years of, you know, mindlessly consuming, it is a pretty radical change, but, at the same time, it is possible. And, you know, Vanu isn't easy. It isn't easy. You're ever going to be doing it. So again, you know, understanding, embracing the philosophy of Vanu, start using encrypted communication to practice security culture. You know, if the coercers don't know you exist, they can't coerce you. And then, you know, begin your journey to financially independent early retirement. And this is something that Rayo talked about, you know, quite a bit. I mean, the idea is to avoid the servile society as much as possible, because what is the servile society full of? Coercion. So, if you're independent of that society, if you have a location independent job, you know, those can be very, very helpful things, you know, in your pursuit of awning. But I guess before we get on to this next one, do you have anything else to add there?
Yeah, I wanted to make one more quick point about the living frugal. We were talking about going out and eating. The more you go out, the more you spend, the more you expose yourself to coercion, right? You have to drive to the fast food. You have to pay taxes on the fast food. You got to drive back home and all this other stuff. So the more you consume, the more you are aiding in your own coercion through paying taxes, through having to drive around everywhere, etc.
Risking interaction,
yeah, with the bludgies, etc. So living frugally actually helps limit your coercion.
And the place I moved to just in this past month, I had to run like 3 or 4 errands, and it took me about an hour and a half to get all of those done. So time is a major investment. You know, it's probably the most, the most valuable commodity we have, right? We only have a certain amount of time on this earth, yep. And I will use we there because it's a truth for everybody. That's time that you could, you make your week's meals at home, frugally, very cheaply. And then you can spend that time that you'd waste, in the drive-thru, eating out or whatever, or, working to fund your habits. You can spend that on actually making yourself more vulnerable to coercion. Yep. So it turns into a net positive when you implement that.
Yeah, or day trading crypto.
Exactly. Right. Speaking of food, food storage is the next thing you can do now. You can start your food storage setup for little to no money. Now, you could go and buy, some of the kits. I actually do have a 2-week supply that I purchased a couple of years ago, just to get to my my bug out location, if need be. You can buy those. I think the 2-week one is like $19.99 or something. So you can buy the already pre-prepared ones, and you can get, pretty much as long as you can afford the shipping. There are ways to do it very cheaply, and there are some very good strategies to do so. Rayo and Roberta utilized food storage. They had a food storage out and in the wilderness of the Siskiyou. They had a nice little 55-gallon drum set up where they'd bury it in different in different Vanu home base locations, and they had their favorite meals out there, and they lived well and quite healthy too. So they're, food storage, it's super easy. If you lose your job, this is something Kyle brought up, and I hadn't really thought of it this way, but, an SHTF scenario, and, the grocery stores are out, it's good to have food storage. But also, if you lose your job and you might be without income for a few months, that food storage could potentially save your life. Before I moved, as an example, I did do the stereotypical prepper thing and stocked up on rice, beans, and other canned goods. It worked for me and it was cheap, but I'm sure there are better ways. So I guess what would some possibilities be for Vanuans and food storage? In the modern times.
Number one, the number one just right off the bat is caches, food caches. 55-gallon drums filled with food, in friends' garages, 5-gallon buckets in their closet, buried caches out in the woods or underneath bridges or things like that. Rice, beans, salt, sugar, honey, those things have an indefinite shelf life as long as they're protected from the environment, and kept dry. But as for Vanuans, it really depends on what type of Vanu you're going after, right? If you're going for a wilderness Vanu and you're going to go live out in the woods, well, Rayo outlined his pretty well. Go read Rayo's. If you're going to be in a van, well, the foods that you're going to keep in the van are going to be different than what Rayo would do, but you're probably still going to exercise caches and things like that. If you're going to be a foot nomad, you're not going to carry around cans, right? You're not going to carry around 20-pound sacks.
True that.
You're not going to carry around 20-pound sacks of rice or beans and sugar. You're going to carry around, smaller, and again, you're probably going to exercise caches. If you're on a boat, the things that you're going to keep on a boat are different than you would keep in your van because the environments are different. The ability to restock on those items are different. So it's really subjective to what type of Vanu that you're going after.
Yeah, and also too the availability of refrigeration and things like that. I think that's a very, very good point. It definitely does depend, but I guess what I'll say is, to the listeners, are you pursuing strategy? Are you interested in a strategy? Are you interested in maybe solutions for food storage with what you're going to pursue? Let us know. I mean, Jason and I are always open to do episodes, going into certain strategies and kind of the nuance and minutia of those things. I also think it's, very, very important. So feel free to, let us know, ShaneAvaniPodcast.com, or, message the Vani Facebook page, or message Jason or I, on our personal Facebook pages. We want to help you guys too, in your pursuit of influence, which is exactly why we're doing this episode, and also the podcast more generally. So, very good point that, it definitely does depend upon, what you're going to pursue and where you're going to be. So, I guess just generally speaking, food storage, another great, thing you can start doing, right now. And, it definitely does increase your invulnerability to coercion. So, the next one. Begin choosing your Vanu strategy or strategies, and this can just be the deliberation. You don't actually have to take this isn't one where you have to immediately take action and do something. This is where you're pondering. You're doing like what Rayo did in his survey of the Siskiyou region in Vanu, the Search for Personal Freedom. It was a very long chapter, and he went through all of the reasons he determined that this region was right for him and his strategy of Vanu. So I guess the first question, what strategy appeals to you? There are a lot of them, and there are a lot that Rayo didn't really talk about either. So are you considering minimal sailboating? Are you considering an intentional community? Or are you considering van nomadism? Are you considering some sort of, I guess, vanuing in cities? The strategy that appeals to you is obviously a very important question. Are you a city rat or a country folk or whatever the saying is? I don't remember off the top of my head, but very, very important. I mean, this is going to be your life. So I would say choose something that actually appeals to you and that you'll enjoy. Anything there, man?
You have to pick something. You don't even have to pick one thing, right? If you can be a wilderness Vanu in the summer and then on a boat, to the Bahamas in the winter. You don't have to pick one Vanu strategy that applies to you. That's the great thing about Vanu. It is totally subjective to your taste and your lifestyle and what you choose to do in order to limit your coercion. What applies to me doesn't necessarily apply to Shane. What applies to Shane doesn't apply to Kyle, and vice versa. So what you have to do is decide what makes you happy, right? I mean, what's the point in freedom if you're not happy and enjoying it? Okay, so you have to discover what makes you happy. Do you enjoy being on a sailboat? Okay, well then, minimal sailboating could be for you. If you want to start a homestead, if you like the idea of living off the grid and having cows and chickens and pigs and slaughtering your own meat and making your own bacon, then okay, cool. Homesteading Vanu would appeal to you. Maybe intentional communities. That's something that you have to exercise. That's something you have to talk about and talk to other people in your life saying, hey, would you guys be interested in doing this type of thing? If you're a single or a couple with a small child, van Vanu, van nomadism, or living in an RV, those are real possibilities. I mean, those might appeal to you a lot, but as I said, it's totally individualistic. It's totally subjective. You have to figure out what appeals to you and what you could see yourself being happy living. Because if you're not happy, then freedom doesn't mean anything.
Right, right. No, I certainly agree. I certainly agree. And as the listeners will notice, these are just questions to ask. When you're choosing your Vanu strategy. So again, deliberation. Just make sure that you're asking the right questions. So the next one: how would you construct or obtain a Vanu home base or the place you are most vulnerable to coercion? So this was important. This is something that Rayo talked about a lot. Obtaining a Vanu home first is important. It really is. It's kind of one of the very first steps to pursuing Venuance. But and again, it just depends upon the strategy. If you're going to be pursuing wilderness Vanu, well, you've got some options. You could do a Shuswap dwelling, an underground dwelling. You could do a polyethylene tent. You might be able to construct like it's a little tiny home, like a little wood cabin or a log cabin. There are certainly plenty of options for that. If your Vanu home base is going to be your boats or your van, got to ask, how would you construct or obtain a Vanu home base? Those are definitely, it's definitely an important question. And it's one of the most important considerations when you are, pursuing Venuance. The next important question, does it require strategic relocation? If it's a nomadic lifestyle, if it's a lifestyle full of temporary autonomous zones, then yes. I mean, it would require strategic relocation quite frequently. But also, is that your preference regardless, right? So I guess something else that comes up with that is you've got to do some research on different areas. You've got to figure out the legal interstices of the areas you're going to be traveling to, or I guess living for certain periods of time. Very, very important consideration. Or if, say, if you're starting an intentional community with some folks and you've got to move to Texas, be wise to do some research on Texas and trying to figure out the best location for that intentional community. But I'll turn it over to you, man. What do you got?
Does it require strategic location preference? Is your preference regardless? If you want to live on a sail, if you think about living on a sailboat, go spend time on a boat, right? If you're thinking about homesteading, go spend time in the woods, right? Go hike up a mountain somewhere and spend 3 or 4 days and get a feel for it, right? And you gotta be able to picture yourself there and be able to understand your location, right? I mean, Rayo spent a lot of time in the Siskiyou region before he ever actually practiced Wilderness Vanu there. Like he studied it, he read up on it and whatnot.
Yeah, and he pursued Van Nomadism beforehand to travel to different areas.
Yeah, so just like your bug out spot. I'm not going to name the location.
So another thing you can do is utilize your current Vanu strategy to launch yourself in other Vanu strategies. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, your little bug out spot that I'm not going to say on the air, you're not going to just go, right? I mean, you're not going to be like, oh, well, that place looks cool. Okay, go. No, you're gonna check it out, right? You're going to go experience it. You're going to go to the nearest town. You're going to check out the people. You're going to get a vibe for the area. You're going to get a feel for the land, right? You're going to take off your shoes and put your feet in the dirt because you want to feel the space. You're not just going to, pop top one day and be like, okay, I live here now. No, it's
people in the Servile Society don't even do that. They don't randomly move to a location. They, they look into the government schools to make sure their kids are going to get a good education.
Oh,
they make sure the crime rates are low so their little children, their little slaves can, grow up, just fine in the Servile Society. Or if they're going on vacation, they aren't just going to choose some random country. They're going to, look into it. What's the entertainment there? Am I going to have fun here? Do they... those sorts of things. So that's kind of a basic that applies to, even folks in the Servile Society. It just makes sense.
Yes. Information is free and knowledge always nothing.
That is true. That is true. So the next question, does your preferred strategy include others? If so, how will you choose your Vanu associates? And if you've already chosen them, great. But if it's an intentional community, sure, it will include others. And Rayo talked about that quite a bit in various publications on choosing others to Vanu with, but he also does recommend Vanuing yourself first to make sure that you can do it, right? So very important question, because when you bring others into the equation, that does, even if you trust them 100%, there's others involved, and therefore there's more risk of, you being more vulnerable to coercion, regardless of who you choose, right? So an important question, obviously dependent upon the strategy.
Yeah. As we talked about before, the more people there is, the more government there is, the more government there is, the more coercion there is. So if you're going to Vanu, near a town and you're going to have 10 or 12 people with you, well, that's going to attract attention as opposed to if you're Vanuing in the middle of nowhere by yourself or your spouse or your spouse and your kid or your two kids or whatever. You're not even going to be a blip on the radar of the people around you because you're nothing. You're a ghost essentially. So, and in addition to that, the people that you vanu with, man, it has to be. They have to get it right. I mean, you can't one of Ryu's earlier papers about the couple came out to see him in the Siskiyous, and the girlfriend wasn't okay with it.
Right.
That exposes you to coercion, because if she talks and says, oh, well, these people are living out in the woods, blah, blah, blah. Well, it only takes one non-friendly ear to make that like an actual issue for you. So you have to have to have people be on board. You know, as we discussed in the South Chile episode, if you're going to have people marry into the family, well, they got to meet the family first. You can't just, you know, bring people in willy nilly.
Right, right. I think that's why Ray was so cautious when it came to that aspect. And I think that's why he wrote that Spoonman's a Super Hobos article that we read, a while back. That's why you have a neutral meeting location. No one knows where the other's Vonnie home bases are. So I think that's an interesting way to combat that. But still, people are going to want intentional communities. I think we both know at least a couple of groups of people that are looking to do that. Just things to consider here. The next one, how much will it cost? What is the capital investment needed? And this is where financial independence comes in play again, right? So if you're going to be buying a boat, you've got to factor that into your cost. If you're going to be pursuing wilderness vanu, I mean, there's not a whole lot of overhead there. It just kind of depends upon the strategy and how much money you'll need. But it's an important question to ask so that you can set a goal and achieve it. So that's good. Kind of along the same lines, how will your import-export look? As Rayo said, seek vanu, not self-sufficiency per se. If you can find things that are cheaper and easier made, in the Servile Society, no reason not to buy those. Because I'm not sure it'd be quite worth it for me to try to build a laptop. I just don't think that would work too well. It might just be better to buy one from the Servile Society. But if you're going to import your food, food supplies, etc., and you're going to export labor, well, you got to factor that in too, right? The strategy that's going to, or I guess the Vonnie strategy that you're going to pursue. Again, if you're going to be pursuing like minimal sailboating and you'll only be able to go to port, every once in a while, you got to consider that and factor that into your equation. I'll turn it over to you, man. What do you have so far?
This is another one of those points where, information is free and knowledge weighs nothing. Research, and then research just a little bit more. Okay. You got to figure out what your van is going to cost, right? Estimate what it's going to cost to refurbish it to your liking, to get the solar panels or the generator, the bed, the propane stove, the propane refrigerator. You have to figure these things out before you jump in. I mean, you're not going to just unless you got money to just throw away.
Don't just say. I'm going to pursue minimalist sailboating. I have a location in business. I'll just, purchase satellite internet and then just go out there and find out that it costs $5,000 just to get the damn thing set up and then about $1,000 extra a month at least. And you'll be dealing with slow ass internet. So do the research first before you, dive into these things. It's just the smart thing to do. Even if you do have money to throw away, you can invest that in cryptocurrencies or something. There's better ways to spend that money other than just tossing it down the drain. But that's a preference. And if you have that much money and you want to do that, feel free. And also consider donating to the Vonnie podcast. But
shameless plug.
Nice little pitch there. But so I guess the last question, are there others pursuing these lifestyles that you can learn from? Well, when it comes to most any Vonnie strategies, read the Vonnie publications. Things have changed some, sure, but you can get a very good idea of the lifestyles that these people lived, back in the 60s through the 80s. Furthermore, for things like van nomadism, or as it's more commonly known as today, van dwelling, or minimal sailboating, or as it's more commonly known today, living aboard a boat, you can go to YouTube and entertain yourself all day long. And learn from people that are doing it, kind of the obstacles they have to overcome. A lot of these people aren't Vanuans. They really aren't. But the basic obstacles they have to deal with and overcome on a daily basis are probably similar to the ones that you'll have to deal with, only it'll be more difficult for you because you'll be pursuing Vanuans, which is a more you know, a more difficult, I guess, approach to it, even though those folks do find a lot of invulnerability to coercion just from the lifestyle, lifestyles themselves. So turn it over to you, man. What do you got?
Just to echo the YouTube idea, I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of videos on there of people living in and altering vans, homesteading, gardening, hunting, trapping, living in the woods, you know, people, you know, survivalists going out in the woods, people, you know, living on sailboats and altering sailboats to fit their lifestyle and things like that, living in RVs. YouTube is essentially a video library, and it is probably one of the greatest collections of information that this world has ever known. YouTube, I could not tell you as a Von Neuen to go and check out YouTube enough, and to not only the strategies or the home bases, right, your van, your homestead, etc., but the regions that you're talking about, the regions that you're thinking about going into, I can almost guarantee there's a video of somebody with some video or some experience in those areas. So YouTube.
YouTube. Right. So I guess to kind of conclude, I'll read a little bit from that article I referred to, Surmounting Personal Obstacles to Vani by Rayo. I'll just read a couple of excerpts here that go along with what we are talking about. Okay, so Rayo, one of the quotes from this kind of goes along with that last section we just covered. Quote, ask yourself how much questions about various approaches. How much of the time can I live in a place of my choice? How much will I be annoyed by a Gestapo? How much chance will I have of surviving a nuclear war? How much of what I would like to do will I be able to do? How much time and resources must I expend to achieve this? End quote. So, again, deliberation, asking these questions beforehand, trying to come up with an answer. I think that's certainly a wise thing to do. So then we mentioned, quote, seek Vanu, not self-sufficiency per se. A few people cannot live in complete isolation without years, perhaps generations of experience, and they probably wouldn't be very Vanu even if they could. Just use a couple more here to give you an idea, but this article is fantastic. If you're just starting out, you know, he might have answers to some of your questions. And you know, I just think it's a really, really terrific article, you know, of how to overcome some of these obstacles. So Ray also says, quote, put savings in both liquid and secure forms. Consider first at least 6 months of supplies you know you can use, such as dry food staples, stored where you plan to live. Second, currency no larger than $20 bills, $100 to $500 per person. For larger savings, investigate silver coins, other precious metals, and Swiss banks. Keep out of U.S. savings bonds, banks, and other institutions, end quote. So, obviously, a kind of a primitive example. You could certainly cash out U.S. dollars. Certainly could, but, you know, cryptocurrencies, I think, are also great. Let me see if there's anything else here that, a business idea. Quote, be willing to pioneer. Pioneering is a romantic word for self-learning, experimentation, making and correcting mistakes. In 10 years, there may be apprenticeships and relatively proven procedures for Vanu. There isn't now, end quote. So, Jason, you want to go into business together in like 20 years? You
know, sure. Like
starting apprenticeships for Vanu?
That's yes.
That's a terrific idea. But Rayo, they aren't around today, unfortunately, man.
That's a real idea. We could do our own Vanu week.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, just a really, really terrific article I would highly recommend, you know, you check out. I'll put it in the show notes, vanupodcast.com/intermission15. But I guess to just reiterate some of the things you can do right now if you're just getting started, if you're just starting your journey as a Vanuan. So most importantly, I would say, understand and embrace the philosophy of Vanu. You got to get rid of your controlled schizophrenia and exercise those collectivist spooks from your head. Start using encrypted communication and practice security culture. If you're just starting out, you know, go ahead and just use Signal. It's better than nothing, and you know, it definitely makes it more difficult, you know, to I guess reach your conversations. And you know, practice the gray man. I think the gray man is a terrific strategy. To reiterate those two phrases, if the coercers don't know you exist, they can't coerce you. And if the coercers can't see what you're saying, it's harder to coerce you. Begin your journey to financially independent early retirement. This is what we started out season two with. It's absolutely crucial. It really is. It really is. And also kind of going along with the same thing, if you have a location independent job, you might be able to value your occupation. So if you're an independent contractor, if you're a blogger, podcaster, consultants, whatever, you might consider, you know, valuing your location independent job. That might be a possibility for you. And along with that, living frugally, which, you know, I think it's interesting, Jason, to see kind of the, and I guess it's some of it might be coming from like the leftist side of things, but, you know, kind of the tiny homes and minimalism. You know, I'm happy to see those kind of, you know, gaining, you know, mainstream, at least gaining some mainstream attention. But yeah, I think those are, you know, certainly, living frugally is certainly a great thing to do. Food storage, you can do that, you know, with little to no money, a lot of options to do, but again, it depends upon, what strategy you decide to pursue. And, I guess kind of a deliberation phase, begin choosing your value strategy and strategies, and, you know, I guess, along that, as I said, you know, figure out your Vanu home base, figure out, you know, if there's people you can learn from, the import exports, how much it'll cost, et cetera, et cetera. Those are all very important considerations. And maybe, Jason, it might be wise to, and I think I'd do this. I'm not sure if I'm actually gonna get this done before when I decide to, you know, come out with the next project for TVP. But, the book I'm working on right now, I guess the short ebook on, why anarchists and libertarians should care about Vanu. I think it would be wise to put together, maybe this will be a Patreon exclusive, you know, something that people get for signing up on Patreon, but, something like a beginner's guide to Vanu. You know, it's kind of a bullet point list, maybe like five pages or something, you know, to get people started. I don't know. What do you think?
I love the idea. And I think that would be kind of popular. It's, just, you know, a digital copy of this show, you know, just things laid out for them, questions that they need to ask themselves.
Bingo.
Yeah, I like the idea. I love the idea.
Right on, right on. So those are just some of the initial things that we thought of, you know, things you can do right now as you're starting your journey as a Vanuan, or if you're a longtime listener and you understand things. These are some steps you can take right now to begin your pursuit of Vanu. So, Jason, any closing thoughts, man?
I just wanted to take a moment and tell people, when it comes to Vanu, you know, measure twice and cut once. I mean, that's an analogy that we used in construction a lot.
I think about that every single day as an electrician.
it means to think before you act. With Vanu and limiting your coercion, there's not a single hoop to jump through, right? You don't jump through that hoop and bam, you're free. No, it doesn't work that way. There's so many steps and there's so many things to consider when you're trying to get away from this Leviathan of the state, and from people hell bent on doing harm, that to sit down and to take a day or take a week or take a month to exercise those collectivist demons out of your head, to figure out what strategies you believe that you would enjoy, and to make a plan to exercise these strategies, to try them out, to figure out what works, what doesn't work for you, to make a plan, to make a bullet point plan to get you off the grid, to get you off their radar, and to get you to freedom. So use what you have now to help that, right? Use YouTube, use the Vanu podcast, use me and Shane, use the publications, use other people, talk to people that are moving off the grid. Talk to homesteaders. Talk to people that practice van nomadism, that live in RVs, that live in sailboats. A lot of those people are just absolutely wonderful people, and they love talking about what they're doing.
Exactly.
Email them. Don't be afraid. A no doesn't hurt you. All right. A no doesn't make you any worse off than you already are. So send the emails. Drop them messages on Facebook, watch their videos, and really, really sit down and measure twice before you act, you know, really, really hammer this out in your mind before you ever physically do it.
Right. And I guess along those same lines, two things come to mind for me. And one of them is that I will be interviewing a van nomad couple from Australia, you know, sometime here shortly. And also someone who she's called the Oceanpreneur, and she makes all of her living. She's always out in the ocean. So we'll be getting some firsthand perspectives from those folks. And then second, yes, you know, as far as, you know, putting together bullet point lists and things. Yeah. Make lists, make budgets, make if it's, you know, for frugality or budgeting. You know, use Microsoft Excel, put together a spreadsheet, you know, thinking about things, you know, well, I think if I just put away 40% of my income, that might be good. No, get it on paper or on digital paper and, you know, really get a visual thing out there. Take that step, take that initiative and really putting your plans to Vanu into motion. But anything else, man?
No, I think you nailed it with that one.
Right on, right on. So, before I let you go, would you like to give the gift of Vanu to others this holiday season? If so, please consider financially supporting the podcast. Your assistance will help us to expand our reach. And we are a crypto preferred podcast, but you can also become a patron on Patreon and reap some pretty incredible rewards there, patreon.com/Vanu. Or for either of those options, you can also visit vanupodcast.com/donate. And please help us spread the message of Vanu this holiday season and for, you know, hopefully years into the future. The website is vanupodcast.com. And keep a lookout for one or two more libertarian Vanu and libertarian publications. And make sure to check out Vanu Life, March 1973. It's a behemoth of a publication. And I think you'll find a lot of valuable information in there. With that said, thanks so much, guys, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.